welcome to the Classic Culture Decoy. Welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before. And today we're here with Jeanette.
Hi.
Cassandra.
Hey.
Josh just goes.
That was a cat cult.
Lisa.
I feel harassed sexually.
Lisa and Mackenzie.
Hi.
Baylor.
Wait, what, aren't you supposed to be doing that?
No, nah, because I know nothing about this doctor.
So. Lisa's too busy being offended.
Have we switched roles this episode?
Yeah, I think we have.
Yeah. And Angus.
Hello.
And I'm Justin, and today we're here with the Redemption episode. Oh, no.
No, it's not.
Just wait. It's involving the Sixth Doctor.
I mean, there's nothing redeeming about the Sixth Doctor.
It must be a Redemption episode. Okay, so we're doing the Sixth Doctor and...
Colin Baker.
And
I actually know a lot about Colin Baker. May I?
Yeah,
because I love this Doctor. So he's a 6 mana, 4 grey, a green and a white, and then whenever you cast a historic spell, copy it, except the copy isn't legendary. This ability triggers only once each turn.
What are you ranting about?
I have him in my magic deck, and he makes it super powerful. That's all I know about him, thank you very much. But I got a really cool card recently, because I actually love him. So
it's Magic the Gathering, the collectible card game, for those of you who don't know.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
They did a Doctor Who partnership 2 years ago, and Baylor likes Colin Baker, so they're going to love this episode, aren't you, Baylor?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You heard it here first.
And what other paraphernalia do we have around here, Jeanette? What's all this?
The books.
So many books.
This is very little, actually,
Collectible figurines.
What are the figurines?
You don't have a Colin Baker figurine. Where's Colin Baker? No, he's just not wearing the silly outfit. Oh, he's going around a blue outfit
he wears for like one episode.
Because that's better than the other
one. He's got the Leo Sayer perm, though, I've got to say. That's very much a thing of its time.
Colin Baker, he hated the clown outfit that they made him wear. He wanted to wear black leather jacket, something he wanted to wear.
Eccleston.
That's what he actually wanted to wear.
Can you imagine that hair with a black...
Jesus, he looked like Kanicki from Greece.
Well, it could be worse.
So we also have, on top of what I was saying, Angus's Doctor Who deck as well.
Which also features...
So how thick is that? That's about 5 inches thick, the deck.
Yeah.
There's only 7 cards in there, though.
Yeah.
Well, how many doctors in this?
There's 100 because it's a commander deck.
Yeah, but there were never 100 doctors. How many doctors are in this?
Yeah, there's like 8 doctors. So they did a card for every single doctor. Yeah.
But only 8.
That's literally the most we know about Colin Baker, because none of us have seen a Colin Baker episode in full.
Are you serious?
None of us have.
Yeah. I just assume you guys have watched it before and not been impressed.
Colin Baker's the worst Doctor from the original series.
Wow, okay.
So this episode that we're about to watch is the first Colin Baker episode, because we have no idea what any of his episodes are about.
Okay.
The problem with that is we realised literally minutes before we started this recording, I looked it up on IMDb just to see how it compared to all the other Colin Baker episodes, and this one is factually rated the worst.
Yes!
Most of them sit around a 6. This story directly was preceded by a Fifth Doctor story called The Caves of Androzoni.
Yeah, which we'll show a little bit of, because that includes the regeneration sequence.
Okay.
So we'll just show that little bit. Yeah.
But that was rated like an 8.8, 8.7. So it was rated really highly for all the Fifth Doctor episodes, and then it immediately drops to a 5.3.
Yes.
Yowza!
So this is going to be fun.
Kenzie doesn't usually join us for the Doctor Who episodes. This is her first time. You didn't come to the Peter Davison one, did you?
No. That was wise. This was foolish.
Because then she's... This one. In the meantime, since last year, we've gone back and she's watched all the Doctor Who episodes. She's totally on board.
The new ones.
Yeah, since from Eccleston onwards, she dressed as River Song for Halloween.
Pretty cool as well. It was River Song as Cleopatra?
River Song as Cleopatra from the Pandorica, because we needed to shoehorn it in somewhere, because one of her best mates was dressed as Matt Smith Doctor.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so they were going as a duo. So yeah, so she's totally on board. So we're like, cool, now you can watch the episode. And she's going, okay, so we're watching Eccleston? No, he's in about 3 years' time.
Yeah.
And I said, but on the plus side, this is apparently the worst Doctor, so we get to hate watch it together. Oh, yeah. And she's
this is going to be a hate watch for all.
And she's like, you son of a bitch, I'm in. So
treat this like Mac and me. You can just heckle your whole way through it.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought of a really, really bad pun. It's less Eccleston and more Heckleston.
Okay. Jeanette, what roles did Colin Baker play? Because he played a few roles
he
prior to
this. He tends to play villains. And I had seen him in roles where I absolutely hated his character passionately. And so when he was announced as Doctor Who, I was, as a teenager, I was just furious or heartbroken, one or the other. I just, no.
Probably a mix of both,
yeah. I think, yeah. I realised that Colin Baker's actually probably quite a decent individual.
Mm.
He's very good at playing bad people. That doesn't mean he's a bad person, and I can make
and
that
he plays that sort of smug villain that you just you absolutely hate.
Yeah.
And you just hate them. You don't love to hate them, you just hate them.
My view of him changed when I saw the Five-ish Doctors reboot.
Mm. Yes.
And I now feel really bad bagging.
I think the plan was, depending on how much of this we're able to get through.
Yes.
If we're not able to get through much at all, we may redeem him slightly by watching that.
The Five-ish Doctors reboot.
I think also I heard really good things about how he acted in the audiobooks.
The audiobooks, he's comes across much better. There's much better writing in those, which helps a lot.
Yes.
And I think the writing did him a massive disservice, especially in this episode.
Yes.
So I think I know what happens. I've read descriptions from other Doctor Who fans, one of which is a passionate Doctor Who fan, who just, his hatred of this episode was so intense.
Oh, wow.
And the way
it's not just the fact that it's gone from a mildly popular Doctor to a loathed one. It's like this episode specifically is badly written.
There's certain scenes in this episode that should never have been written. This Doctor Who fan, I think the way he described it is like it was a betrayal of the writers of the character of the Doctor. So,
wow, so they just really deviated off pure characterisation.
Wow. So,
in what way?
That isn't.
We'll find out.
You'll find out in this episode.
Speaking of Eversong, spoilers.
Spoilers. I did recently learn that because Colin Baker is so hated, and the reason I brought up Magic the Gathering is that he saw himself on a card and got really, really excited.
That was the Eighth Doctor.
That's right.
Yeah, point no, Paul McGann.
One of the hated doctors saw themselves on a card.
McGann was hated.
Yeah.
He was
one.
He had one shot and it wasn't really that
good. It was very Americanized. I think I told you that was the only time we'd watched Doctor Who because my dad grew up in the Hartnell era and Troughton era, loved Doctor Who, and then we saw the movie was on TV and he's like, this is really great, let's all sit down and watch, and we watched as a family, and afterwards he went, that was awful.
Yeah.
And that was it. Never watched Doctor Who again. he was devastated.
Well, when I heard that Doctor Who was coming back, I was just like, not excited.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we watched the first episode, Rose Eccleston, I was like, oh my God, this is actually Doctor Who. Yeah. Doctor Who is back.
Yes.
No, we didn't get excited at all.
And then I think our interest dropped in the second episode, the end of the Earth episode. It was not so good. And we're like, okay.
I think that was the one that you came on board with.
Mm-hmm.
That was the end of the Earth episode with Eccleston.
Moisturise me.
With Rose.
Are you my mummy?
No, the second episode. The one where they're on the ship and they watch the Earth explode and they got that Cassandra and she's like all stretched out like a trampoline.
Yeah.
Oh, that!
That was the episode where she went, all right, I'm here for this.
This is cool. It was so weird.
I still think one of my favourite New Who episodes is Eccleston is the Dalek episode. The tone they set in that episode is just so... And it's
so good.
It's out of character for the Doctor. You've seen him be merciful and kind and constantly try and...
Mm.
And then at the beginning of that episode, he's cold, ruthless...
I've got goosebumps because he's acting.
Christopher
Eccleston is an incredible actor, and he almost wasn't used enough as the Doctor, except for episodes like that.
He's got such
good chops.
The Doctor dances though at the end.
Oh yeah,
I love that because he doesn't do light and happy easily.
Yeah,
and you get that comes across that he's really happy, but he's not something he does easily.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's finally breaking down that wall.
Colin Baker. I didn't love him very much. Sorry.
You liked Eccleston, didn't you?
Eccleston was like okay, but I like the quirky professor running around, not the Backstreet Boy running around.
Yeah.
If you will.
I think Eccleston was the traumatized war doctor, but I think once he got over that trauma, I don't think Eccleston would have been as good had he stayed on. I think he was great for the actor that brought him back.
Mm-hmm.
The role suited him as the traumatised war doctor. But then going forward, I think definitely...
He was definitely giving man in midlife crisis.
Yeah. He was.
Yes.
Oh, look, and from what we've heard, he was actually going through some serious trauma during the filming. So, to be fair, Capaldi, I think the writing for him gave more man in midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Sitting on a tank playing an electric guitar wearing sunglasses. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That was awful. Where were they going with that? Riding into a Colosseum, was it?
Yeah. That was a castle.
Oh, there you go. Well, that changes everything.
That's part of the reason why I'm worried about rewatching, because I watched it when it originally aired, but not since then. I'm wondering whether I should give it a second go or not, because
just move on to Shooty.
Yeah,
and Shooty was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah,
good doctor.
Apparently Colin Baker got this role because there was some sort of BBC garden party or something like this, and he entertained everyone for the entire garden party just with jokes, and everybody thought his personality was so fantastic. They just went, this guy's got to be the next Doctor. He's so
Do you
good.
Think he did that on purpose?
I don't know.
Like, just no. I'm going to get the role, but I'm going to do it this way.
We're talking about...
No, I don't think he was even...
We're talking about London in the early 80s?
Yeah.
Early 80s. Cocaine.
Yeah.
Could be.
But, so he's the cocaine doctor. Let's look at
him. He could have the white nose.
That sounds very like nepotism in a way. Like, he may not have known anyone particularly to get into the role, but oh, we really liked him, so let's put him into this. We love Jeanette. Let's put Jeanette into a role.
I think he's very extrovert, and I think extroverts don't make the best actors. Introverts make better actors. So
comedians make the best actors.
Mm. Yeah. Most drama actors, best drama actors.
And most comedians are introverts, even those that do stand-up.
Or depressed.
So what we'll do is we'll have a look at the end of Caves of Androzani, and then we'll go on to The Twin Dilemma, which is his first episode, and see what he's like.
I can't wait to heckle.
Yeah,
let's do this.
Oh, can we record the heckling?
Could we call you Lisa Heckleston?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Just stealing Cass's joke.
Huh? Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, it's fine. It's the public domain.
Do you know what's great? I remember you saying it, but it completely washed out of my mind.
I thought you were just doing a callback,
copywriting anything and thinking it was my own hilarious joke.
Okay. I just feel nice knowing that I contributed. That's all.
You can achieve great things.
You're the
you
artist that everybody wants, right? You're the artist that'll be like, oh yeah, I did this amazing piece of work, and then like, you know, Disney and Fox just rip you off, and you're like, I'm happy to be here, guys. It's fine. I'm not gonna sue you. Just take my work.
Yeah, just take advantage of me. I don't mind.
Kimber,
I'm so happy being here.
Kimber the White Lion.
I need to bring that up.
Okay, on with the episode. So we almost survived one episode.
But did we, though?
Did we?
Yeah.
Well, Baylor, what was your reaction to the regeneration scene?
I genuinely started laughing out loud. But if that doctor, I'm sorry, I'm probably going to use a profanity, was shit. He was absolutely tragic and awful and a dick.
Yeah.
Like, he was so rude. He gaslit the companion and tried to kill her.
Yes.
Well, you know what they say about strangulation in a domestic violence situation. It's like the next step's killing them. I mean, he was close, wasn't he?
Not sure what sort of technical babble they were trying to use to justify that behaviour, but...
Nah, no excuse.
But then why did he immediately go,
oh, there's something wrong, after gaslighting his companion. I know, I'll go into hermitage.
Yeah.
Like, and what was the thought process behind
and also, isn't a hermitage, like, solitude? Why is he taking her with him?
Yes.
Mm.
I think he's supposed to be mad at that point, but...
Yeah.
It doesn't,
no. It doesn't really work.
No, it does not work. It doesn't work at all.
If it was mad in the sense that, like, all the other doctor personalities were coming through and he was acting through all the different ones, and I don't know, they showed that by changing his clothes constantly between them all, that would have worked a lot better and given the exact same kind of feeling of him not being settled.
Could have just flashed an image like they did with the regeneration of one of the previous doctors and had him change
the way
he was moving.
What they were implying, or was it just that he was being
Every time he saw his face, it pulled him back together. Not every time, because we only saw that happen once. Mm. But when he saw his face in a mirror, he immediately got brought back from trying to kill the lady. So I think that he was reminded of who he is, and that's how the episodes, quote-unquote, were broken up.
I think it's really interesting as well, because this is the first Colin Baker episode. Mm-hmm. We watch the regeneration, and then it's gone straight into this new episode. Mm-hmm. And with the new version of the Doctor, when they bring through a new Doctor, they spend the first episode basically saying, this is still the Doctor. The personality is completely different, but trust us, you will love him. And it's like they try to kind of show the differences, but try to make him endearing, because it's like, I know you love that guy, but you will love this one. Yeah.
They still do an episode, though. So when they transferred into... I don't know. So
when they went Tennant, he spent most of it in bed.
Basically, it was straight into an episode. But they did take time over that character.
But you compare that episode. Each of them, they tried to show the likability. Yeah. So you compare that first Smith episode, the Christmas episode with Tennant,
Capaldi walking around London in his pyjamas,
was getting confused and he was going mad and yelling at stuff, but he wasn't trying to kill anyone and he wasn't being
he was still a
douchebag.
He was still there to rescue people.
You still get that like slight disorientation, but you also get the
same with Tom Baker when he regenerates back in, you know, two doctors before this. He's a little over the top and insane, but he's still the Doctor and he's still acting as the Doctor. Mm-hmm. He's still there to save them. He's still the one going, no, you can't do that. That's wrong. We've got to help. We've got to, you know, I'll come in and I'll save you all. He's still it's a good person and you love him.
Yeah.
You still love him right from the start.
It's almost like
he goes eccentric and he's doing ridiculous things that make no sense. Yeah.
Even Jodie was like really eccentric as well. She was doing things from different doctors and trying to find her footing. And then in Shooty played a ball game. Like really high up in the sky. And then
he seemed to adjust really easy compared to the other ones. But I think that was because it was the split in half regeneration. But it's almost like in the other versions, when they have that orientation episode where you're trying to get to know this new character and this new actor, they try to do it in a way going, this person's very different, but trust me, you'll love them. This one, it's almost like the writers went, this is a new doctor, he's very different, and you're going to hate him.
Because
he's a complete dick, you know, and he's automatically the companion who loved him and was crying when he was dying. He's trying to kill her and treating her like shit. You can't bounce back from that.
No. It's a complete betrayal of the character, and that's in the writing.
Yeah.
It's the way it is
written. And it undermines the entire Colin Baker era.
I have to really understand what's of him as well. I'm better than you. I'm smarter than you. Yeah. You are just a poor little thing. I'm just a clever man with a clever man face.
Yeah.
And that ego goes right through. And I have to say, everything I've ever seen the actor play, it's always a character with a big ego.
Wonder what the script writers, the showrunners, the people who were cultivating this season, I wonder what was going through their head.
And the costume, it's so awful. And that wasn't the fault. The actor wanted a set something much plainer. And they put him in this clown outfit. Why?
I thought maybe that was an 80s thing. I don't know.
I think it was
hideous in the 80s.
Maybe it's a juxtaposition. So he clearly wasn't showcasing the quirkiness of him, and so it's doing that whole, I don't care how I look, because I'm super smart and serious, and if you don't take me seriously because of what I'm wearing, then, you know.
I think that's, or if he doesn't act quirky, we'll make him look quirky.
Yes. Yeah. They're trying to make him look quirky.
But it doesn't work. Yeah. It doesn't work.
So we only watched, like, the first part of the four-part serial. Apparently at the end he does repair his relationship with Perry a little bit by saying, it's okay, you're
not trauma bonded.
You're such a good girl.
this is an abusive relationship.
The redeeming line was literally, you're such a good girl. And it's like, I would
turn around and stab him if he said that to me.
The character's rotten all the way through.
It is a very interesting thing, like the dynamic between the doctor and the companion and where it strays into a partnership, or how the relationship, whether there is a power imbalance in that relationship, or whether it's just an outright abusive relationship. Yeah. And I think there's got to be questions sometimes.
This one's outright abusive.
Yeah.
It's just outright abusive in every respect. And that's just not who the doctor is or what the doctor... And also, that's not the value. So the doctor has the values that we think are important. Mm. So this is showing the doctor as someone with none of those values that matter. And that's undermining the premise, the whole TV show, the character, the TV series.
The only example I could really think of him is someone said that the Doctor is like a superhero, right?
Yes.
But if you consider, what's that show where all the superheroes are dicks?
The Boys.
So he's just the superhero from The Boys. Yeah. He is 100% a monster.
Yeah. Mm.
And he's got, like, the superpowers, I guess, of the Doctor. He's just not.
Yeah.
He's got that sociopathic, where he just doesn't care.
And I just, it's not all right.
No.
So I thought McCoy was the worst, but this one's the worst, and McCoy redeems a little bit.
McCoy redeems a bit.
We'll find out.
So McCoy's between...
McCoy's between the two of them. No, so, McCoy's really good.
Because McCoy is in the movie.
McCoy's episodes are actually a lot better. There are some duds still, but that's kind of how
it gets better and better. The last few stories of McCoy's are quite good. I haven't watched all of McCoy's.
I think
the second McCoy's Fenwick, I think we watched.
That's good.
What is the longevity of Colin Baker compared to...
He only did two seasons.
He did this episode, which was at the end of the 84 season sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
And then he did 84 to 87 was his tenure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So 4 years, but it was kind of only one episode at the end of 84. The rest was 85, 86, 87. And even then, I think 87 was only like an appearance.
By this stage, production quality had really dropped dramatically. The writing had dropped, the budget, special effects, the costuming. It was all terrible. And so by the end of the Fifth Doctor, I didn't even get all the way into the Fifth Doctor, and by the time I got to the Sixth Doctor and I saw this guy, I just went, he's awful, and he's not a nice individual, and
it's not redeeming.
It doesn't work.
And that brings us back to the Red Dwarf episodes, where they were trying to pitch the idea for this sci-fi sitcom comedy, and they were like, but please concentrate more on the set comedy, because we don't want to have people running around in a Welsh quarry filming scenes. And so they basically were like, we like the idea of the sci-fi, but we don't want the budget issues that we have with Doctor Who, where we have to, it's either crappy because we've had to put the budget really tight, or, and they were like, no, we can make this on a shoestring. So, But that wasn't the only reason why Doctor Who was going downhill. It was budget and it looks like there was a lot more to it.
There was a lot behind the scenes and production and commitment. And I think...
It never had much respect from the BBC itself.
No. It didn't have a lot of respect from the BBC. And I think they weren't giving their best people. So when Doctor Who started with Verity Lambert and Wallace Hussein as director, they were two up-and-comings. And they were both marginal within the BBC. So they got this funny little quirky kid show. But they were both brilliant. They were both really good. And they went on to become top producer, top directors for the BBC. So Doctor Who got really lucky to have these really committed, really talented people that kicked it off.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that for a while, because they had so much faith and conviction and did such a good job, that it did very well to begin with. But that was luck. But by this stage, it was tired.
And that's the big thing, isn't it?
The Daleks episode just completely wiped everybody. Everybody just went wild.
I feel like it kind of gets to that point with a lot of things. Is like, absolutely, if you're not trying to keep it fresh, it will get tired.
Yes. Yeah.
And there is no shame in pausing something for a time before you get a fresh look at it. I mean, Doctor Who's a good example. Weirdly enough, Game of Thrones is a good example. Because they go completely downhill by later seasons. A lot of stuff does. The Simpsons went from being ace in the early days. They definitely had a divot partway through, but I feel like they're getting better with their later content. But everything that is long running,
it
will always fall down.
Yes, it will.
Before it gets back to being good again.
Right, the Next Generation and Picard. That was a joke.
We're not laughing. No.
But Enterprise is a good example. Star Trek Enterprise, I don't think was that amazing. Though I didn't see all of it or most of it, or I'm going to go with most of it because I did see a couple of episodes. It didn't hit me very well.
I think there comes a time when they're just making it for the sake of making it.
Yes.
And you begin to feel they're just churning this out because they have to.
And it looks like it's just a cash grab, a cash cow, like, oh, it's got the Doctor Who name to it. Okay, then. And I feel like that's when it loses all of its meaning and stops being anything. And that's kind of not what you want.
This was the period Doctor Who was going through at this stage.
Yeah.
So I think it was a lot of problems with it.
The showrunner at the time was also notoriously problematic.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of stuff has come out regarding them basically manipulating fans into doing things for them. And, young fans. It's real dodgy.
Yes.
And I think they said...
That stuff never happened in the 80s on BBC. Oh, my God!
There are a lot of things that need to be normalised, and I think putting things on pause that just aren't working for the time is one of them.
They treated, I feel like, Chris Chibnall's era as showrunner of Doctor Who recently with Jodie Whittaker as being... show was kind of on pause. Let's start it back up again.
But they have, they've literally, classing it as a reboot.
Because they...
But then that's because they potentially lost so much of their audience during that era.
Also, I'm guessing they want to be fair in terms of the Disney thing as well.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, exactly.
So this showrunner, who was behind the Sixth Doctor, the Fifth Doctor, the latter half of the Fourth, and it's why the Fourth Doctor walked away. He loved Doctor Who so much, he was willing to be there forever. And he's like, this is... breaking my heart. I need to walk away from it. It's the reason Doctor Who got cancelled is because the quality just went down and down and down. And yeah, he was known as the person who killed Doctor Who.
So Fourth, Fifth, Sixth. This one was the sixth one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I think it was almost the name of the...
So Davison, and who was the fourth?
The Fourth Doctor was Tom Baker. It was the very end of his era.
Oh, end of Tom Baker.
Romana had left the show, and they introduced Tegan, Adric, and I think Adric was really... I don't know if that was the reason Romana left as well, or if she just decided to move on, or what was going on.
I think the marriage was not working out.
They were married or something.
She got married, but the marriage only lasted 2 years, and for most of that time he was off drinking with his other West End mates, and never... She said she barely saw him.
Yeah.
2 years they were married.
Working marriage.
Yeah, so I think it fell apart very quickly.
Feel free to drink on this one, but if Doctor Who looked at doing something similar to Star Wars Visions, is it Visions? Or Tales of the Jedi, where they do an expanded universe that isn't directly related to this.
I think that's
if they decided to go on pause and went, hey, India, China, Japan, do you guys like Doctor Who? This is Doctor Who. Give us some animated episodes. Yeah. Give us some stories.
I do feel like they might do something. They probably won't, but it feels like they're going to do something with the new Tenth Doctor.
I feel like there's going to be a TV show or something.
And I don't remember what it's called. Something Place or something. I was just Googling things and I saw this cast and I was like, oh, that looks really boring, but I was looking for a particular act or something. Hang on. Colin Baker. Oh, hang on. And it's got just about every previous... Carol Ann Ford and...
All the previous actors, companions, doctors.
So the companion actors,
The creators, obviously alive, fans, they've just brought them in.
Jackie Tyler's mum. Just a whole bunch of people.
Yeah. what is this?
Psych is like that. I've been watching Psych. I think she's gone off of it now. She's on to Red Dwarf. But on Psych, they love a lot of those 80s type of shows and actors, and then they'll keep bringing them in. And so, yeah, they have pretty much every actor from Breakfast Club or Twin Peaks and all of these different shows. And and then they did a Clue, which I love the movie Clue. They did like a Clue homage episode, and one of the only ones that they couldn't get on board to act in the episode was Tim Curry, who was in an earlier episode because they were such a big fan. Sometimes it's just they'll have these creators and especially I guess the BBC is such a small place too.
Yes, yes.
And they'll just bring them all in.
Actually, talking of actors, Kevin McNally, who was in this one, and I forgot to mention this earlier while we're talking, he was also in the Flux series, Jodie Whittaker. As well, as Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. No, that's the Pirates of the Caribbean actor, Master Gibbs or whatever.
Captain.
So he wasn't actually from Pirates of the Caribbean. He was from the Pirates of the Caribbean episode of Doctor Who.
No,
he was actually from Pirates of the Caribbean.
He was in all the movies.
Oh, yeah.
He was the one they threw the water on.
I think I watched the first one.
He's really good in the Pirates of the Caribbean.
I think he is literally in every single one. He's the only actor that's been in every single one besides Captain Jack himself, I think.
Yeah.
Couldn't
remember a thing about them. I didn't find them very memorable.
The other thing that they didn't really cash in on, just going back to Doctor Who, is that they didn't entirely cash in on things like where are the companions now, if they decided to go through lull moments. Like, Jamie McCrimmon?
I like that. When they did that at the end of the Whittaker episode,
they had
a support group of all of the former companions.
I mean, they don't need to do that specifically under the Doctor Who umbrella, but a little companions TV show of shorts of what they're doing now would be nice.
Which was Sarah Jane Chronicles.
Sarah Jane. We got a little bit for Donna Noble when they did the reboot, but Jamie McCrimmon, is that his name? He got an unofficial
outline.
An unofficial show. Captain Jack got his.
It's literally based on it. The main character's called Jamie. The actor appeared in the original Outlander production.
Shout out to Wendy, one of my co-workers who is obsessed with Outlander, and was, I don't know whether she was happy surprised or confused surprised when I told her the whole backstory.
I was actually going to start watching that recently.
So I haven't watched the whole thing. I think I got up to season two, but there's certain episodes I watch multiple times. Nice. And Outlander fans will know which ones I'm talking about.
Like, there's also Captain Jack and his thing, which, I mean, some of them weren't great, but there's so much that you could
do. There is, absolutely.
Like, Ace. Jeanette sees a jacket that I wear and goes, oh, that reminds me of Ace, and I know Ace's baseball bat from Magic the Gathering. But where are they? What are they doing? Are they causing anarchy somewhere?
She was great in that reboot episode. Was that the Nakuti episode when Ace was in there working for
No, that was a Jodie Whittaker episode.
Yeah.
One of the overall problems with Doctor Who, though, is that they've never established any kind of storyline of what's going on.
Yeah.
They've always established locations, races. Even then, they reset the universe and it's all gone again. They do the Shivnal years where almost none of the original entities are even in the universe at all. So they've never established any kind of story arc for it that you can fit other characters in to do those minor stories. Star Wars established it all with the Clone Wars and did long thing that established this long history that you could go, oh, there's a gap there. We can fill that gap with this little episode that's a side episode.
The thing is I'm not asking for, like, a timeline or anything. I'm just saying, if you're going to completely destroy a TV show that everybody loves, why not continue it by going, we're stopping Doctor Who here, we're going on break, but... You know what? The Doctor's granddaughter. What's she doing?
Absolutely. Yes. I always want to know what happens to
the thing is,
there's so much potential. And Jenny, the Doctor's daughter.
So many of those are only explored.
Clearly they're going to
in
do
audiobooks.
They're going to do Susan.
They've got Jenny.
They are going to do it.
They've got Jenny.
You reckon who that Mrs. Flood is?
wasn't.
No, but they will do it.
The fact that
you reckon they're alluding to it,
they keep on alluding to it.
Yeah. Oh, I've got this granddaughter.
It was in shooting. Like,
it's the first time they've even mentioned her in almost 50 years.
Capaldi had a picture of her on his desk.
Shooty is the only person that I have seen thus far that has gone, I used to do this. This person I remember. Yeah. This was a cool thing that happened once.
Yes.
Everybody else is always moving forward, and he's going, yes, I am the, 17th iteration.
Yes.
I've had a life beforehand.
Yeah.
Yes. Here's all the stuff I used to do.
I loved when him and Tennant were having that conversation. Yeah, like when they were revisiting all the different emotions with all of these different people in their past.
Yes.
And I think that's the type of conversation they could only have the two of them, because nobody else understands.
Yeah. Yes. But like there's the Doctor, Tennant, the Doctor, and Rose in the alternate universe.
Exactly.
Yes.
Like, you've got so many people everywhere. Yes, like, what did Rory and Amy actually do on their last couple of days? River's Song has an entire life that we haven't seen. And I know I'm mentioning a lot of New Who stuff, but there is so much that they could do in lulls instead of just destroying something we love.
Lost Big Finish does touch on a lot of this. Yeah. And Christopher Eccleston was saying in a Comic Con or something that, you know, there's so many good stories they should tap into it.
Christopher Eccleston has refused to go back to Doctor Who
No, that's fair.
He went back to Big Finish and went, I still love Doctor Who. I'm still really proud of the work I did on Doctor Who. I just...
He can't work with any of the people that were still there.
The BBC. Yeah. And so he loved doing the Big Finish adventures. Yes. And he said, I'd be happy to go back anytime. It was really weird because I was doing it in the middle of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all very quiet and really abandoned and, like, really kind of not what I was expecting. But it was a lot of fun. Like, it's really well written. Mm-hmm. And they listen to you when you suggest things. Like, it's not just, do this, we're telling you to do it, go do it.
Yeah.
It's a back and forth, and just, they do make great content. Problem is, they don't tap into it.
Yeah. It's also like I need to get into the audiobooks.
It can be a bit expensive too.
But again, that's
the thing though, you want to kind of support it because you want them to keep doing it.
I was trying to look up, like, I follow someone on YouTube who's going gradually through all of Doctor Who, and they recommended, okay, if you want to start the audio series, listen to this first. And it's really hard to try and find out where it is, because there's like 1,000 hours of audio from the finish.
Oh, yeah. So I recently got into Warhammer quite heavily, and before Space Marine 2 came out as a video game, and I was looking for audiobooks to listen to while I was working out. But, well, unfortunately, there were no audiobooks for Warhammer, but there were all these audio plays,
radio plays
on Spotify that were done by this small knit group that do all these other side stories of other things as well.
Mm.
And they were absolutely fantastic. Mm. But because Doctor Who isn't easily accessible like that, and if you were to do it and get them, you'd have to download them, put them onto your phone, and then there's all these extra steps. There's not like a Doctor Who app where you pay a little subscription and then you get things. Yeah, I agree.
It's, you pay per month or something like that.
It's a resource that no one's going there
during
because...
COVID... Big Finish were releasing some stories for free.
Yes.
And I've got one early one that was on a DVD on the cover of a Doctor Who magazine as a giveaway.
Oh.
That was a Peter Davison story.
Nice. That was called Cuddleston or something weird like that.
Yes, Cuddleston.
A lot of those more boring doctors that were part of the John, Chris, whatever his name was, era. What was the...
John Nathan Turner.
Yeah. It's bland name followed by bland name. A lot of those actors that were in that era, so the 5th Doctor, 6th Doctor, 7th Doctor, have a lot of Big Finish adventures because they were very kind of fresh from Doctor Who when the Big Finish started up and they jumped straight into it very early. And some of their stories are awesome.
I've heard Paul McGann stuff's really good.
He's really good on the radio,
He's got a great radio voice.
And because he's got that really great segue from regenerating when the movie was on, but then went on and then became the War Doctor. Like that transition, isn't it? Yeah.
Does War Doctor get much?
The War Doctor's fairly new, though.
A couple of audio adventures, but regretfully, John Hurt passed away quite early into it.
Mm.
But they got another actor who does sound similar... In terms of voice, to continue with those adventures. But they've also got audio adventures for... I have not heard any of these because they're difficult to get and they're expensive. Poor. But they've also got, like, the War Master, which was the old master you see at the beginning of Utopia, the Professor
Yarn.
Yes.
And they get him back as the War Master to do stories of him during the Time War.
Far out.
The Daleks.
And then he gets sent to the way into the future in space and gets stuck there after the war finishes.
I can't remember, but I feel like there may be like a recurring character in that. So I wonder if he gets his own evil companion that joins him on his adventures during the Time War.
Well, that's what Chenthal was. Oh, no, Chenthal was when they were in the end of space and time.
But
so
that would be awesome.
Did the master usually ever have a companion, though?
No.
He worked sometimes.
He had too much of an ego.
I think he worked a little
probably
bit
had
with
minions.
One of the Fifth Doctor companions,
Turlough,
who was kind of stabbing the Doctor in the back a little bit through most of the adventures. Like, he was working for an evil entity called the Black Guardian, who was just like the essence of all evil in the universe or some nonsense. It was a John Nathan Turner story. But he was an evil companion that worked with a lot of those more dubious characters. But traditionally, no, he was always on his own. He'd use people and then discard them. And that was always every episode. He'd have a new, basically, gimp to do his handiwork.
It was like a minion. And when when they'd served their purpose, then he'd toss them away. Probably treated his companions, quote unquote, similar to how Colin Baker does.
Yes.
Bringing us back to. Kenzie, what did you think? Did you watch any of that?
I watched about half of it. The reaction when he turned into Colin Baker. And then at the end, when he, roasted the girl, I was just like,
yeah.
You enjoyed him being mean because it was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But would you watch more episodes of that particular Doctor? No? Why not? Just because it's old or?
Because it's old and two, it just doesn't have much enticing stuff.
No. It's missing the charm.
It's missing the weeping angels.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you watch more of his episodes, you'll probably be hiding in your face.
Maybe that's the origin story of the weeping angels. People who don't want to watch
this kid comes to me and goes, I want to go as a duo with my friend who's going as Matt Smith Doctor, so can you make me a weeping angel for Halloween? And I'm like,
what?
Dude, like, Halloween's in 10 days. Yeah. Absolutely not.
Halloween
costume.
It would be cool if we had months to work on it, not the next days.
Time. And also, do you have the right knowledge to have that grey face paint?
Exactly. Yeah, but it's not just the grey face paint. It's like, how do we get the grey dress? And how do we get the grey hair? And it's like, oh, man. And so then Adrian's looking on Etsy. I said, but is it here in Australia? Oh, but it's for sale and it's not too expensive. Where is it coming from? Will it get here for Halloween? Oh, no. 3 months delivery because it's coming from the UK. And I'm like, dude, you're killing me. So everything's about the weeping angels with her. Yeah. Definitely favourite.
Oh, yeah, I just remembered. I was going to say about this doctor. He looks like Will Ferrell.
In terms of the hair.
Yeah,
you got that. Not as nice a personality, honestly. Yeah.
Well, when you see the Five-ish Doctor's reboot, he's kind of a little bit endearing in that. So it changed my view of him as an actor.
He understands the joke, or his bit as a person, which is very full of himself. Mm-hmm. And he just plays on that and makes fun of himself in that light. So at one point he locks his family members in the house and he's going, guess what just arrived in the post? It's a special edition of one of my Doctor Who episodes, so we can watch it in HD 4K.
And more of me.
It's got bonus special scenes that were cut. Even more of me.
And they're all trying to get out the door.
It won't matter. It's locked. He's just relaxing on the couch.
Apparently he is one of the Doctors who loves going to the cons.
He does.
Jerry picked him up at Adelaide Airport and drove him in to Adelaide for one of the cons that was on in Adelaide. He's just delightful. He's really, you know, everything I hear about him as a person is everyone loves him.
Which one of the ones from Doctor Who did that? I used to listen to Jerry and Eugenia's Women Talk Sci-Fi, and I think it might have been one of the Daleks or something like one of the
K-9, John Leeson.
Ah, yeah, they took him on a wine tour through the Barossa or something and got drunk with him. And I'm like, that is so cool. Yeah. I will show you around. Yeah. Take them out, take him out drinking.
Yeah, fun.
And then recorded an episode. And I very much enjoyed it.
I'll put a link on this podcast to that when I put up the description. Yeah.
So, what is the food, Angus?
Oh, God.
Something that will probably.
Do you know what my food association with Colin Baker is? So someone I worked in England was recording at one of the chefs. It was back when video recorders were fairly new because it was around the time that Video Nasty came out.
Yes.
The young ones. He was working. He'd leave his door open and I could just go in and watch it. And the room stank, so I was sitting in the doorway and I could see all these plates under the like cupboard or something rotting food. So that's my food association with Colin Baker.
Jesus.
So it wasn't just that it wasn't good. The situation I was watching, and I think I gave up after a couple of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I just can't do it.
Food. So rotten food, I think you've pretty much nailed that. Well done.
Yeah.
I've got the word of the day. The word of the day is smarmy. Smarmy.
Yes.
It describes it all perfectly.
Really does. Yeah.
Smarmy.
Because I try not to think of food I don't like. It's,
yeah.
And I usually don't like sweet things, but I don't have a sweet tooth. No. But that does not work for this because this doctor's not a sweet, like sickly sweet.
I think it's something that's off because it's off for what it is. It's
It's not quite
there's something
right.
Wrong with it.
There's something wrong with it. There's script writing.
It's like a bowl of porridge when you've accidentally poured in salt instead of sugar.
Yes.
I don't know, it's got some kind of mould or something on it because you just don't know whether it's going to suddenly throw you down and try to kill you, you know?
Okay, so that was the Cult TV Club, and we'll say goodbye.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.